One of the things I'm concerned about is potentially these ports getting hung up. I think it's totally unacceptable to try to intentionally deprive people of the supplies they need to be able to rebuild their homes when they've been displaced at a natural disaster. We should be doing all we can. The federal government should be doing all they can to make sure all the supplies continue to come in here unabated. And there is the prospect of things that are critical for the rehabbing and recovery of here and other parts of Florida that may get hung up in some of this work stoppage. So now is not the time. You already have people that are reeling. You have people that are on their backs. Let's do everything we can to accelerate the relief. Make sure that they have the equipment. Make sure they have the supplies that they need to be able to rehab their property.
That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's talking about the strike that's been taking place. So we're going into what, day three of this now, and we still haven't measured everything with the, you know, what the cost of this is going to be, what, how it's going to affect, you know, really everything. We have no idea yet because it's only damn day three. It's only day three. We don't know. I mean, it's just, I read that there was a solar flare this morning, a big one, and I hope it just I'm good. I'm good with a blackout, only except in the hurricane affected areas, because that's the whole point too. I mean, you've got a strike happening and you have all of these people who are going to need supplies. And I mean, we're not even getting into the issue with the federal government not being able to stand up and do what they need to do. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. This is one of the things we're talking about today because we got day three of the strike and then more of this devastation from the hurricane affected area is coming to light. And it's just absolutely devastating. I read a story last night or this morning, wherein there was a family that was stuck up in the mountains somewhere and they had to go on this ridiculously long hike. All the roads were just, I mean, they were crumbled like cookies. The roads were, they were absolutely impassable. You couldn't even get a three-wheeler or four-wheeler on some of these roads. I mean, it's just the mountainous terrain, the mud, the uneven topography. I mean, it was just crazy. And they had two little kids and a puppy. And they said they did really good trying to, they had their stuff, as much, you know, their clothes and medicines and that. And they trekked down and were able to get help. But they had to trek down for a few miles before they could even meet fire and rescue because they're just overwhelmed. And I mean, you had the, the vice president, I almost said president, see what I did there? Yeah, the president, vice president, did it again, who was, she was, this was like some kind of, supposed to be like some kind of quick stop, and she was asked about funding, audio soundbite, well, she was at a presser, audio soundbite too. This is Kamala Harris offering Americans a very nice $750. Here you go.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met.
$750 if you have immediate needs being met. Now, the interesting thing here is I was looking at, there's a very interesting bot that tracks FEMA spending. And I'll put it in your email prep for those of you who are signed up over at Substack Chapter and Verse. There was a piece talking about how the Biden administration's Health and Human Services awarded over $500 million for refugee resettlement in North Carolina. This was $230 million in contracts to New York-based deployed resources for security maintenance, janitorial services, another $5 million for security guards. It's an 800-bed facility. It was awarded $50.4 million for a five-year lease, and they had $286 million. It's an illegal alien intake facility in Greensboro, and they had $145 million outlaid as of July 5th, 2024. And then that's not even getting into some of the other grant money, $221 million in primary. These are our tax dollars is what I'm pointing out. I mean, this isn't like, you know, free government spending. And I bristle at the accusation that people are like asking for you know, handouts or something. This is their tax dollars. You know, these are these people's tax, our tax dollars. And I just think, you know, if you're going to have a FEMA and you're going to have these, you know, these departments and these organizations, then by God, the tax dollars that we spend, that we pay into the government, you know, every single year, maybe, just maybe, they can go to help Americans who are here and citizens, you know, especially during a time of a, you know, hurricane recovery. I just feel like that's like the most simple thing that could be done. I don't know why that would be in any way controversial to say or anything like that. But it's, I for some reason, we're, you know, all of these hundreds of millions of dollars. And remember, you had Mayorkas, who was saying that, oh, well, Health and Human Services, and, you know, it's broke. It's, you know, all of these government agencies, we need more money. FEMA needs more money. I think you guys remember that when they were arguing for an increase in FEMA funding. I'm not even getting into, this is just the beginning of this. So you got that right there, about 500 million. And then, I'm not done. This is, let's see, FEMA got another grant. This was 3.9, actually technically like $4 million. Hennepin County Shelter and Services Program for Illegal Immigrant Assistance. You got FEMA grant 2024 amount, $4.5 million. El Paso, County of El Paso, again, Shelter and Services Program for Illegal Immigration Assistance. Federal Emergency Management Grant, again, this is 4.8, almost 4.9 million. This was Denver, City and County of Denver. The purpose of this awards, and by the way, this is at usaspending.gov, Shelter and Service Program, Illegal Immigrant Assistance. You want me to go on? Because I can't go on for some time. There's a lot here. I mean, this bot tracks just specifically FEMA spending. This is 2023 grant. It was about $5 million went to the city of Atlanta. Again, if you had a guess for the Shelter and Services Program of Illegal Immigrant Assistance, ding, 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 you would be correct, because that's exactly where it went. And so this is, I guess, where the money is going. Is this where our money is going? Because is this why, you know, you have Biden saying, well, people have gotten everything that they're going to get? Is this why you got Kamala Harris is like, well, like Pawn Stars, you know, best I can do is $750, best I can do. I mean, is that why? I mean, I got more millions here. You want me to keep going? We got Brownsville. They got $5.2 million. And again, what was the purpose? The purpose was Shelter and Services Program for Legal Immigrant Assistance. I got more and more and more. How much do you want? I mean, there's a lot here. And I just, it's just amazing to me that, you know, with all of this, why are we having such a struggle coming firsthand account from people who are in these affected areas who are trying to get assistance, and they're being told that, you know, well, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the ability to get up here where you are. And it's not because, you know, it's impassable. You got families with little kids able to walk down the damn mountain. Why can't FEMA get up it? I mean, you've got the stories that have been going around of these individuals who have been trying to help with their private choppers, and they aren't able to do it because they're being blocked. In fact, this is Poot Booty Juice, ladies and gentlemen. Poot Booty Juice, he put this video on X. Where's this at? It's like 11,049.50. 16 million, cut 16 million. This is what he was telling people who were flying in and around, drones or whatever, recovery efforts. Listen.
Our goal is to make sure that funding is no obstacle to very quickly getting people the relief that they need and deserve. There's also some safety issues that come up. For example, temporary flight restrictions to make sure that the airspace is clear for any flights or drone activity that might be involved in helping to allow those emergency responders.
I'm trying to figure out, and maybe somebody, you know, who knows about, you know, drone, who's done, you know, stuff like this in these areas, maybe somebody can explain it to me. I don't understand why you could even fly a drone to just get, especially because these are people who live up in these mountains. You know, what if you live up in one of these mountains and you are trying to figure out, okay, well, how far down do I got to walk down the holler here in order to see if I'm even going to be able to get, you know, my vehicle or whatever down the mountain, right? I mean, how far is it? I mean, how far do you, I mean, do you know? These people don't even know. So they would, what, take a drone out and try to see if they could, I don't know, get a drone to use. See if they can walk down the road, get down the mountain. Maybe it's a possibility. Maybe it's not. They don't know. They can't even fly. Can they not even fly that? I mean, what about news entities? What about, you know, other private recovery efforts? I mean, that's the thing that makes people think that you're trying to hinder the recovery efforts when you do stuff like this. And they have it. This is, of course, you know, this is Pete Buttigieg, who is the pity hire over at the Department of Transportation, who's saying this stuff. So I don't know. I've got I got a lot of questions, I think, as a lot of other people do, about the government response, the way that the government has been reading all of this and messaging this. And, we spend all of this money. We send how many hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine? We spend how many billions of dollars on people who are coming here illegally? I mean, maybe the original story that went out talking about how, well, we're not loading up these people who are here illegally, their gift cards with $6,000. But no, you are giving them hundreds of dollars, in some cases, a couple thousand dollars. I mean, this is, you can't lie when this stuff is publicly available through government spending tracking on the internet, and people can look and see. I mean, this is a real issue. This is just further compounding the distrust and all-out loathing that people have towards the federal government right now. I mean, these grants, this is crazy. County of Riverside, you know, they got thousands of dollars. Most of these grants, like Laredo got about $6 million. $6 million. $6 million for the purposes of shelter and services, illegal immigration assistance. These are processing. This isn't like we're going to go in here and then we're going to deport you. This is like, these are holding, processing, releasing, not detention and deportation. All of it. I mean, you can go, it's all at usaspending.gov. It lists everything out. It lists where it's going, what it's tracking, all of that. Now, on top of all of this, you know, we're in an inflationary period. Everybody's broke. I told you earlier this week just how much construction materials, which actually shocked me, were imported into this country. I thought at least we would be self-sustaining with regards to, you know, timber and a lot of our concrete and steel. And I actually was proven wrong. I went and I was looking to see how much came and how much comes through these East Coast ports. So look back at these images of devastation that we've been seeing coming out of the Southeast states, and think about how much it's going to cost in materials to get that to rebuild. Some of these areas are saying it's going to be 6 months before these roads are even passable again. And then how long are the ports going to be shut down? What is that going to do to the cost of goods? What is that going to do to the availability of goods? I mean, that's just to start with. So there are a lot of problems. I'm glad, starting off this segment, I'm glad that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is speaking out about it and is saying, no, we're not doing this. Good on him, because he's one of the only Republicans out there actually speaking out about this stuff. We got a lot more to hit. We're just getting started this first hour. And coming up, like I said, the latest with the hurricane recovery. We've got the strike. We've got some of the election stuff. It's getting dumber. It's getting dumber and dumber, honestly, out there. So we got a lot of stuff to hit as we roll towards the headlines, the bottom of this program. You don't know what it is, whether it's a natural disaster or one that is political. Stocking up on ReadyWise emergency food means you are set for whatever comes your way. And you are not going to have to worry about what you're going to feed your family. And that gives you such a source of confidence and comfort. I'm going to tell you something. I've used these services before, and I've actually sampled them. ReadyWise is the only one that I can actually reliably, and I've researched it literally myself, is the only one that I can say I know the chain of command of my food from start to finish. I know that my food has U.S. ingredients from U.S. farms and U.S. ranches, and that it is packed in the U.S. plant by U.S. workers, and it comes out of that plant shipped by U.S. workers and brought to my U.S. doorstep, and then I put it in my U.S., my prepper's pantry. I know the chain of command. I know I'm getting premium survival food, and I'm also helping to support and sustain not only U.S. agriculture, but U.S. jobs. Right now, you got a 72-hour food kit, buy one, get $100 value for $50, and you can use promo code DANA20 at checkout and get 20% off any regularly priced item. These are premium premium survival food. You're going to get multiple, I mean, 12 servings in every box for these buy one, get ones. Enough calories to keep you going, to keep you sustained. Hot, comforting meals, even in tough times. 25-year shelf life. So make sure that you get your ReadyWise food. ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's promo code Dana20 for 20% off at ReadyWise.com.
Right now, is Kamala trying to earn the dumb vote? Kamala Harris is pitching $25,000 for first-time homebuyers while trying to build millions of new homes with government funds, all while using small businesses as straw men.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, then. Let's see. Oh, of course, everything just froze. All right, so first off, like I said, we're following everything with the... we got Iran and Israel. We're going to be touching on all of that as well. First up, the death toll has now reached 189. It's being measured as Hurricane Helene, the deadliest storm since Katrina. I said yesterday it was going to be one of the top five, they said, costliest, like largest storms in terms of cost and area covered, apparently. Technically, since Hurricane Katrina, it is now considered the deadliest storm to hit the United States. And that was in 2005. Hurricane Katrina killed 1,392. Hurricane Helene's death toll, which is still rising, is now 189. And the devastation covers six states across the South. It's horrible. A Colorado man used a shovel to kill a mountain lion and save his dog. Not going to lie, I would have done the same thing, but mine would have been a gun. He killed a mountain lion with a shovel. He tried to eat his dog last week. One very experienced Wyoming mountain lion hunter said, "That's actually very impressive." He's like, "That's wild." He goes, "And mountain lions will kill and eat dogs. They love dogs. Dogs is tasty, and they will totally devour them." So that's pretty amazing. But the dog was enraged with the mountain lion, enraged the mountain lion. The guy grabbed the shovel and killed it. So, man, I mean, that takes some effort to do that. That's pretty amazing. An Israel reservist in flip-flops stopped the jihadi terror attack in Israel. Remember the terror attack that we were talking about where they opened fire in a train station? I mean, literally, it's like the good guy with a gun. It was a reservist in flip-flops. Dude ran in flip-flops. And I'm sorry, but the surface on which he ran kind of looked like a smooth surface because they had, like, stills from CCTV. Seven people killed in the shooting, stabbing terror attack in Jaffa. It was on Tel Aviv light rail, and this guy... he just happened to be there, and he stopped it. Lev Kreitman, the guy who neutralized the terrorists, he's an IDF soldier. He was in Gaza. He has his own personal weapon, and he was apparently getting a beverage, and he heard shots and ran toward him in flip-flops and ended it. That's pretty unbelievable. Paul McCartney is teasing an emotional Beatles tribute on new tour. I don't know who else is going to be there. Pink Floyd sells music rights to Sony for $400 million. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service provider that we have. And with Patriot Mobile, you're going to get the absolute best coverage on all three major networks. And you're not going to have to worry about your money going to support all the things that you vote against at the ballot box, because that's not what they do. With Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support your enumerated rights and you support the right of parental involvement and the ability to determine what is or is not age appropriate, because we're grateful to what they've done in our area with their help with the school board races, because they got behind those parents groups, grassroots parent groups that were fighting to get control of their school boards so that they didn't have really inappropriate stuff in their kids' elementary libraries. And so when you support and work with Patriot Mobile, you're getting the best service. You can get a plan tailor-made to whatever you need. Your family of all size, business of all size, doesn't matter. Keep your phone or your number. Upgrade. The choice is yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. And when you visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, you get free activation using code Dana. Call 972-PATRIOT today. Get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana as well. Don't be fooled by the pretenders who cosplay about having the same coverage. Switch to the legit one. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Free month of service, free activation using code Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're just watching some video. My friend Tim Kennedy earlier today, and Kane and I were talking about it on break, just how hard it is for people to get down there and respond in these hurricane devastated areas. Six states now dealing with this. And then looking at all the, it was $750. Kamala Harris is like, oh, if you, that Maui money, $750. If you've lost your homes and all that, we can't really do anything. They're doing their tour, right? Their little tour of the hurricane ravaged areas. Yes. And my understanding, and we'll get this audio ready that we're playing on break. My understanding is that I know that they had to put up like a certain, I can't remember how many, you know, what the standard operating procedure is, a radius of X miles, you know, around your principal, around, you know, POTUS when they're doing a tour like this. But that also means that all air traffic has to stop. They take complete control over the skies just at that point. And when you're doing a tour, that means if you're doing any kind of helo, anything, whether you're dropping supplies, whether you're rescuing people, whatever it is, that all has to stop. All that has to stop so that the tour can be conducted. And I remember, and I'm not like the biggest Bush fan, but I remember after Hurricane Katrina, there was a story that came out where he was trying to delay one air tour so that they could do helo evacs of people who were on their rooftops. And he got a lot of criticism for that because he understood that, you know, if he's over these affected areas, ain't nobody else getting through. That's just how it goes. Doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. That's just how it goes. And I remember he got a lot of hell for that. He caught a lot of hell for it, didn't he? And I thought it's not because he didn't want to go and tour the area. He knew that it was more important to get these people out of there. I remember that distinctly. That was about the time that Kanye West went out there and said, George Bush hates black people. It's just wild seeing this, the devastation in this. And then when you look and see how rescuers are dealing with it and how people who are just, you know, regular average everyday citizens were pitching in trying to help. I mean, it is something else. It's infuriating. It is infuriating to see. And I feel so bad for these people. We got this audio. This is one of the guys. This is they're explaining to you right here what I was just talking about, how you got to freeze. You know, you got a perimeter, even in the sky around.
You want Corey Mills or Kennedy?
Was it Mills that was talking about this? How they couldn't, they had to suspend all evac and all supply drops? Okay, yeah, listen to this. This is Corey Mills discussing this.
The other thing is that yesterday for President Biden's, you know, dog and pony show to come in and see photos, he put a 30-mile TFR, which is basically a restriction in the air zone, which means that he actually stopped from 12 o'clock until 1600, 4 p.m. He stopped air traffic and helos from transferring supplies, dropping SAR teams, picking up individuals from medevacs. So that was not only irresponsible, but if you're going to come a week later, at least make sure that you're not trying to, you know, hinder in any way further the actual operations that are being led by civilian organizations and veterans such as myself and others that are trying to do what is right. And so,
Wow. 30 mile radius. So for 30 miles around where they are, ain't nothing getting through.
No rescue.
Nothing happening for 30 miles around where they are. That is something else. Holy cow. And forever how long he's in the air until he's secure on the ground, that's how long that's in effect for. That is something else. I got to tell you. Yeah, let's play Kennedy. So this is our friend Tim Kennedy, who's been there with his organization. They've been trying to get supplies and rescue people who have been stuck. Just these first hand accounts are stunning. Listen to this.
They're present. They're in the way. They are directly interrupting our ability to conduct missions and operations. And I'm not going to disparage anybody because we are trying to work within partner relationships, both government and non-government entities within state and federal and county. You know, I went to put a couple of people into a hotel last night, and they have a security guard at the hotel. And he said, oh, we're so sorry. The entire hotel has been booked for federal employees. And I was like, no, I have people that were just pulled out of a mountain that are living out in the hills, and there's not a place for me to put them because we have federal employees that are staying in the hotel. I slept in this white car last night. I smell like foot and death right now, as does every single person on our team. Not a single one of us slept. We got done maybe at 3 o'clock. The moment the sun was up and we could fly helicopters again, we were back in the air, and we have not stopped. And I was like on the fence about trying to get on this program or not. I want people to understand how incredible this organization is, Save Our Allies, and all the work that all of these volunteers are doing. But people, this is biblical level devastation. This is apocalyptic, the things that we see out there.
It is, and he's not wrong. And Tim Kennedy is not born to hyperbole, by the way. For him to say this, and you can just, you know, you can see how upset he is over it. I mean, it's it's just stunning. I mean, when you look at there's one picture of the it was actually a major thoroughfare through one town that's in the mountains, and the road looked like I'm trying to, you know how when you get brownies out of the oven, and you know they're all like they're deliciously cracked on top, and it's all uneven, and there's big, you know, gashes and all this stuff. Now imagine that's the topography of these roads. Absolutely impassable. Like, some of the roads are so broken and uneven, like part of the road may be up 12 feet in the air. And then, you know, you got a huge ravine. It's the words don't do it justice how devastating it is. And I mean, I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed at this. And all the people who are out there with the recovery efforts, I mean, they were asking for, was it Good Samaritans? Or Graham's organization was asking for volunteers. So contrary to what Pooh Buttigieg was saying, they were asking for volunteers.
They're in the way. They are directly interrupting our ability to conduct missions.
And then, I just got some audio playing. And then, why is the recovery so slow? And why do you have the optics of Kamala Harris out there? I get it that we're in an election, but I just feel like maybe helping these people get back on their feet is a little bit more important than that. Seems like it. Now, in the meantime, we got the strike. And so it's already been crazy. Have y'all been to a Costco or Sam's? It's nuts. They're already doing it. The rationing starting. New York City Costco shoppers emptied shelves in a panic over the port strike. I don't like getting people all hyped up, getting them to freak out over this stuff. And I'm still like, man, don't freak out. But, you know, if you like, I need to get some stuff for dinner. And I like getting some produce at Costco more so than some of these other stores, because I just think their produce selection's better. I wouldn't even go in there for stuff because I have all of it. And it was crazy. It's crazy when you go in there and you see people freaking out, like, oh my gosh, like, what are you like planning on having just like massive diarrhea? Like, when this is going, like, why do you need that much toilet paper? I just don't get why you need that much toilet paper. Man, that Ozark came out just then. Did you hear that? Toilet? Oh my gosh. Hold up. That's a specific part of the Ozarks that says toilet. Right. My grandmother said tarlet. So it was very different. Like, I do not have the R. My R is in the wash. All right. Hers is in the tarlet. So it's very, very different. But people were emptying. They said no toilet paper, no paper towels. You know, the only stuff that's left is the thin, nasty stuff. It's like tissue paper, right? That's all that's left. This is in Staten Island. They were going through everything. Water. They were going through paper towels. They were going through all of it. People were just, you know, they were alarmed about the... Just chill out. Calm thyself.
I was in Sam's last night in the DFW area, mm-hmm. and shelves empty of water, empty of paper towels, empty of toilet paper, and literally the line... And every register was at least three
Are
or
you
four,
serious?
At least three or four people deep.
Some of this is going to be self-induced.
Yeah, it's psychology. Absolutely. It is.
I don't know what it is, but people feel like they got to go and buy all the paper products and French toast supplies. Have you noticed, like, whenever there's like if it's a hurricane, if it's a snowstorm, if it's a tornado, whatever it is, people got to go out and they got to get French toast supplies and all the toilet paper that they can imagine, right? Toilet paper. I can't help it. I'm toilet. Sounds so weird to say. Juan's laughing. Juan, I swear to you, Juan says certain things better in English than I have ever been able to say. But for real though, I mean, it's always the same supplies. Have you noticed this? Doesn't matter if it's like, oh, if there's a strike, is there a supply chain crisis? Is there a snowstorm? We need French toast supplies and all the toilet paper you got. Like, what are you putting in them French toasts? What are you putting in it? What are you eating? I don't know. Like, I see people, I would be too embarrassed. Sidebar, for real. I would be way too embarrassed to get that much. I couldn't go and do a rush on the shelves. I would not want to give. And it's weird because I don't care what people think unless it's something like that. I could not, because I know how I am. I'm judging you to death. If I'm seeing you stand in the line at Costco and you've got all the packs of toilet paper in your cart, I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? That's my first thought. Like, you need a doctor. You don't need more toilet paper. You need a doctor.
Some fiber.
Right? Like, what is your deal? Oh, my gosh. And, you know, or paper towels. I'm like, they're just get a rag. What's your damage? I don't know, man. I would just be too embarrassed about that. Right? Like, I don't want people. I don't know. Like, it's just weird. Is that weird?
No.
Trump doesn't want to fall asleep on the beach in front of cameras. I don't want to be seen in Costco buying all the toilet paper. I don't know.
I saw it last night. I just went in there for some cheese and some other. What else did I get?
What did you go in there for?
I went in there for some cheese and I got. What else did I get? I got some dairy stuff. That's what it was.
That's what happens. You go in these stores and you don't remember what the hell you walked out with.
Yeah,
because
I did. I just went. I was right there and I just jumped in just to see. And people, I mean, stacked the water, stacked in their carts the toilet paper. And I wasn't vibing with those people.
I wouldn't vibe with them either. I mean, I don't even need, because I'm already prepared. See, I accumulate over a period of time, so I don't have to go in and embarrassingly buy a small platoon's worth of toilet paper.
Right. I think I'm good till the end of the year.
Oh, dude, minimum. For real. I'm easily good till the end of the year. Oh, easily. And maybe even after, because I got grades of stuff, right? I got my good stuff. I got my mid-tier, and then I got the stuff where it's like, we're a step away from eating cicadas. This is what we got. So I got tiers of it, you know, for rationing and that.
Just reminds me of the COVID stuff. Remember when they made a run on toilet paper back then?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, it's psychological.
It is. It's so psychological. So they got, the strikes aren't going. I mean, there are, you're going to see price increases with certain things. I don't think you're not going to be able to get items. I think it's going to be how expensive are those items going to be? Because yes, this affects the ports that are on the East Coast going into the Gulf. But you know, it'll be a hell of a lot more expensive thanks to oil. But you know, they can go through the communist controlled Panama Canal. CCP controls Panama Canal. Great job, U.S. And go through Panama Canal and then go around the West Coast ports, or. You know, you're looking at, and then you have freight and air. I mean, it's going to be more expensive, but for sure. But I think if there's going to be something that you absolutely have to have, I think you're going to be able to get it. But do you want to pay that much for it? I'm just wondering, you know, the longer that this goes out, you know, what does that, what's that mean for prices like going into Christmas and, you know, all this other stuff? So we got the shoppers that are emptying shelves. It's apparently costing the U.S. economy some hard cash. And they don't want any automation. You're going to have some automation. You're going to have to. You can't have the United States, our ports fall behind, continue falling behind everybody else. This is the U.S. of A. Like, I want it to be so damn swanky when people pull in here. I want people to go, my gosh, look at what freedom does. That's what I want them to be bowled over by how awesome things can be if you're free. And instead, we got Harold Daggett, gold ring. You know, I don't think I have time to get into this, but dude, I don't know how I missed this because I don't know a lot about Cartier, but he apparently was wearing Cartier glasses festooned with diamonds and gold in one of his videos. I am not even kidding. I don't even know how much them glasses cost. How much a pair of Cartier and fancy Cartier glasses? First off, what the hell kind of man wears Cartier glasses? I'm calling you out on how tough you think you are. If you're wearing more gold than your average B, how in the heck are you? Come on. I mean, this is some Liberace territory here. Well, dude, come on. What man wears Cartier sunglasses? Who does this? He's wearing these fancy. He dresses like an old lady going to church. He does. He's got his Cartier sunglasses on. How much are those glasses? How are you acting like you're a man of the people and you look like a Fruit Loop all golded out, nuggeted out and all this? Shut up. Good night. Black Rifle Coffee. It is the best coffee that's out there. Nobody else comes close. And one of the reasons why I like it so much, in addition to it being veteran run and operated, veteran owned and operated, is that all of their roasts are so good. I mean, it's all so good. And you get, just the freshest, most innovative roast, and it's all done to, you know, precision excellence. And that's just what Black Rifle Coffee does. Now, they have a great offer for you right now. You can get the complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. It's a lineup of their classic blends. These are actually all my favorite. The Beyond Black, AK-47 Espresso, Silencer Smooth, the Just Black. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in a cool blue box, so it's a great gift. You know, if you know, have a friend or know somebody that likes coffee. And it's comes in the ground texture. You can also get, you know, because it's a sample, but you can also get each of these and each of these roasts in a whole bean K-cup, ready to drink, all that good stuff. You can also join the coffee club. Pick your roast, how often you want it delivered, you know, to your doorstep, and you get free shipping. It's awesome. And you're going to save money, and it's going to be more affordable than anything you're going to find on grocery store shelves. It's over only at blackriflecoffee.com, that complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler. Also join up with the coffee club, as I do, and get all your favorite brews delivered right to your porch with free shipping. Outstanding flavor and aroma, only at blackriflecoffee.com. Make sure you use code Dana to save 20%. Code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com gets you 20% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
There are a lot of people who say that according to the Bible, God made man and woman, and that couldn't be more clearly defined. How do you respond to them?
It's hard to relate it to modern day times because it wasn't written for 2024. It was written for then. When we read in the scripture that God created man and woman, God created everyone else.
No, God created man and woman. You confused little turd. God created man and woman. That's it. I mean, who are these people that come out and like, well, I mean, it's not, you know, the Bible's not anachronistic, dude. Actually, chick. It's a chick who's trying to be a dude.
Was it?
Yeah. Man. No Adam's apple. You know, they try and I can tell.
I'm horrible at that. What kind of radar is that called?
There's no Adam's apple.
Yeah, whatever.
He's soft looking. And he calls himself, and he's a trans person. Or she's a trans person. So if you're saying you're trans and then you refer to yourself as he and him, then you're a chick. If you say you're trans and you're referring yourself to yourself as she and her, then you're a dude. And if you have a giant penis, you're a dude.
I'm still not clear.
Yeah, it's still not clear. Yeah. I mean, people just need it. You know what? Just, you know how they have them shoes out there that, and I don't understand these shoes. They're like the plastic shoes that you can see the woman's feet and just the toe box is covered. Those are stupid, by the way, because they look dumb and they look uncomfortable and hot. But maybe you should make them britches for people like this. That way we don't got to be asking all those questions. Just, you know, just put it all out there. But yeah, that's wrong. Even the devil can quote scripture and stop it. These people are not shepherds. They're deceivers. We got a whole second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. Partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Burn a Gun. It's a non-firearm firearm, and they just want to give you an extra option for self-defense. I'm always going to encourage people to carry, and I have zero issue at all whatsoever with using any kind of lethal force to protect myself or my family. But there are times when I'm not able to carry everywhere. I've got friends who live in D.C. and New York, and even though they got their hard-to-get carry licenses, so many of these places are gun-free zones, and if they have to go there for their job, they can't carry their gun there. So they needed another option. You've seen the crime rates there. They both got, there's three of them. Three of my friends got the Byrna SD. Now, that's their most popular model. The Byrna gun shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It's a good deterrent. And they have another option for self-defense. And they got the Byrna SD. That's the most popular model. If you compare it to other stun guns, if you compare it to a stun guns have like one or two shots. But the Byrna SD is five rounds. And so you've got five rounds for your defensive purposes. They have different models and they have all kinds of accessories and projectiles and that, but the SD is the most popular one. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check or permit. It can be shipped right to your door and doesn't care about gun-free zone signs at all whatsoever. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this second hour, and we're covering everything from the ongoing strike. We got the election around Israel. I got some culture stuff coming up for you because we got to have a palate cleanser. And then, of course, we've got the Hurricane Helene recovery efforts, which Biden says the hurricane happened because it's climate change. And audio soundbite 8, if you don't agree with him, then you're brain dead.
Let me close with this.
Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis anymore. At least I hope they don't. They must be brain dead if they do.
I mean, it's completely crazy to think that there is, I mean, think about it for a moment. I mean, it's really wild to believe that we have a hurricane in hurricane season, and it's always been hurricane season. It's been recorded as being hurricane season in all the records going back to the beginning when humans began taking records of the weather, particularly in this area. And so it's just totally weird, Kane, that we would have a hurricane in hurricane season like this. It's just, wow.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, it's like so unprecedented. It's really amazing. I'm just saying for a friend, it's just totally, I mean, we've never seen hurricanes like this. And but it's so destructive, Dana. Yeah, sometimes it happens. We got that solar flare that happened too. It's like the historic solar flare thing that's happening. And apparently we're going to see the fallout of all that. I'm sure that's going to be attributed to climate change. No, Biden's saying that, well, you know, you're brain dead like me unless you believe, you know, unless you, if you don't believe that a climate crisis caused a hurricane during hurricane season that dates back for hundreds of years since we first began recording the weather, I mean, you must be brain dead. Of all the things to say at that time, I tell you what. Now, we're following all of this, and I don't know how, you got two, this is why our media are just garbage. You have two huge stories right now that I don't know, in any other, if these were Republican, if this was a story about Republican culpability, this is all you would hear. You've got Democrats in the White House, disastrous response to six states reeling from Hurricane Helene. And you've got also the story with Kamala Harris's husband. He's out there slapping women up. And this was the woman who literally ran in 2020 on the believe all women shtick. The woman who tried to get B-roll during the Kavanaugh hearing by accusing this innocent man of being a rapist and pederast in front of his wife and kids. And the media is not asking them for anything on that. Not a single thing. Not a single thing. And so it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And then on top of it, now you've got the story that came out, that Inspector General report where the IG found that Customs and Border Patrol, ICE and TSA, they didn't fully assess the risks, you guys, of releasing non-citizens without ID into the U.S. and then putting them on domestic flights. Bill Melugin said that under current processes, CBP and ICE cannot ensure that they're keeping high-risk non-citizens without identification from entering the country. TSA cannot ensure its vetting and screening processes prevent high-risk non-citizens who may pose a threat to the flying public from boarding domestic flights. Don't you guys feel so much better now? Oops, guys, they just can't do it. They can't handle FEMA funding. They can't handle this. No, but they can fund to the tune of millions of dollars in cities across the United States assistance for illegal immigrants who come in. Fiscal year of 23, Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, allocated nearly $364 million that year, $650 in 2024 for the Shelter and Services Program to provide what they called humanitarian services to illegal immigrants after they were released from DHS. That's according to FEMA.gov/grant/Shelter Services Program. And they ran that in cooperation with Customs and Border Patrol and ICE. Wow. Remember when they were saying that that FEMA needed more money? Where'd all of it go? I mean, this is a lot. The stated goals, by the way, they wanted equity as a foundation of emergency management on FEMA's own website while they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on those who come into the country illegally. This would be, in any sane world, like the major story right now. Why people would be asking this administration, why do we not have any, why is assistance so slow for people in these states, even in areas where it's not actually impassable because they're up in a mountain? Why is it so slow? Why is there no cash? Why are you guys out there demanding more money for FEMA? Why are you giving hundreds of millions of dollars to these services in all of these cities to provide for the needs of people who come here illegally? This is Biden Harris's Katrina moment. It absolutely is. I would say Harris more so than Biden's, because he's just a place marker. He's not a president. He's a place marker at this point. It's just unbelievable. And in the meantime, I got several stories here. We got coming up, we're going to talk to my friend Andy McCarthy about the Jack Smith filing. That filing, you know, it's October. Judge Chuckin released Jack Smith's massive brief detailing evidence against Trump. We're going to go over that with Andy McCarthy. Can I just say one quick thing, though, about the Melania Trump memoir? Why? She's got a memoir out, and I don't begrudge her having a memoir, but why do you make a video where you're defending abortion as a way to sell your memoir? 4 weeks away from an election where you're trying to keep evangelicals in under the tent. Why would you do this? Can I just talk? I think she's perfectly fine as a person. This is one of the stupidest campaign things I've ever seen in my life. I get that you have to sell a book, but when you're the former first lady and potential next first lady of the United States, and we're 4 weeks out of an election, and there's already a fight on the right about abortion and IVF and all this other stuff, and everybody's just trying to keep the team together to go into November. And the former first lady comes out with a video where she is literally talking about abortion as a right and says that she supports abortion. And she, you know, says all that, she writes about it in her memoir, and she comes off sounding just like Kamala Harris. Why, for the love of God, do you put that out there 4 weeks before an election? Why? Anybody got an answer for that? Because if I'm an operative and I'm looking at this, I'm like, what did you just do? What did you just, you couldn't save that for after November? You couldn't put that out after November? You're trying, we're trying to keep the team together. What are you doing? There's a bigger question to talk, there's a bigger issue to talk about after all of this, because where's the Republican Party going? Fine, we'll have that discussion after November. Right now, I just want to win. This doesn't help. This does not help. Stop it. You know, for all the people who are like, Trump's a sexist and a misogynist and a control freak, if he was, she'd have never come out with that video. There's no way he would have let his woman make that video and come out with that video if he were all those things on the left that they said he was. But why are you doing this? Like, of all, that's the thing that you want to talk about in the book? Now, I could theorize and say, well, maybe they ran this as like, well, it's not Trump saying it, it's her, as a way to keep the independents and maybe some of these moderates, maybe to attract them if abortion was the big thing that they worried about. But Melania Trump doesn't make policy. She's not going to have anything to do with policy. She's not going to influence policy one iota. But still, this does not help at all whatsoever. I don't know why people do this. Who is the strategist genius that decided that was a good idea? Because they ought to be fired, rehired, just to get fired again. They deserve multiple firings to have their desk packed up and perp walked out of the building. Oh my gosh. Ugh. Now, yeah, it's dumb. It's dumb. We'll talk more about the direction the party's heading after November. But it's pointless if you don't win, because it's heading right to Hades in a handbasket, depending on what happens in November. You know, just you got to look at all that. Can we talk about how biohackers are annoying? I got two annoying stories for you. Let me get to the Will Ferrell one first. And then we're going to get to the biohacker people. So Will Ferrell, he made this movie where it's a Netflix documentary. It's called Will and Harper or whatever. I don't know. I'm not watching it because Will Ferrell used to be funny, and then he got high on his own supply and he got really annoying and preachy, and I just can't stand it. And some of these comedians, when they get older, they're just like, I've got to be serious and talk about it. Shut up. So one of his friends who's a dude wants to identify as a woman. And so he does this documentary. And it's all the people promoting it, including Will Ferrell, are the only ones saying that it's controversial. They're like, it's a controversial documentary. It's super controversial. And they're like pushing it like, look how controversial. No one's saying that. No one cares. And so he takes this dude as part of, I guess, like a scene from this documentary to a Texas roadhouse, right? Or Texas roadhouse. It is a Texas roadhouse. But the people in Daily Mail have no idea what the hell they're talking about. So they just said, random Texas steakhouse. It's Texas Roadhouse, dude. I know them rolls anywhere. So he took his friend to this steakhouse, I guess, to try to see if they could sit there and eat and if anybody would give him stuff for pretending to be a woman. And so they're sitting there. They got cameras all around. They're trying to make a spectacle of themselves. They gave themselves a big toast at the table. And then the dude who's pretending to be a woman, Harper, said, we gave a little toast and I said something about passing a trans bill and the room did a reversal. People are in there trying to just eat their food. And you come in there with a bunch of cameras, you sit down and you start making loud remarks about trans issues when people are, and you're surprised that people don't want their meals interrupted by your BS. And then you're going to use you being a moron and being a bad guest and patron as a way to falsely accuse them of being bigots because they just don't want their meals interrupted by your attention seeking. Read the room, you fruitcake. Golly. So and you can see they got photos there and they got their camera crews all there and they're making a big deal about it. And then Harper, that dude who pretends to be a woman, got up and made a political speech. They conveniently left that out of the documentary because they wanted to try to get the room turning on them. And they wanted to set these people up to make them look like bigots, prime the room. Oh, there's a trans person in here. Here's the trans person. They're going to sit down and have their steak. They went to a Texas Roadhouse. They're going to try to antagonize these people so that they can get the reaction they want and then show them all as being bigots. They gave a speech in there. And this Harper Steele gets up in this damn crowded restaurant and says, quote, I wish you guys would do more for trans rights in this state. And then you would be surprised if somebody rolls their eyes or is like, just shut up and eat your food. I mean, interestingly enough, nobody was mean to them. If anybody booed them, they deserve to get booed. Because you're interrupting all these people. They just want to get away from this crap. And you're going in this restaurant and you're interrupting their food, attention seeking, self-glorifying, because you want to try to falsely portray these good people as being bigots when you're the one who's creating noise in the restaurant. You're the one who, what kind of fruit does this? Stands up in the middle of the restaurant, and makes a speech about trans rights. Oh my gosh, you guys are shocked at that? You must be bigots. No, they're shocked that a loudmouth is standing up in the middle of the restaurant interrupting their meal. That, by the way, is probably three times more than what it would normally cost because of the stupid policies you support. This is so stupid. Oh, it's controversial. And then Will Ferrell goes, I sobbed. He said he regrets taking his friend to that Texas steakhouse. He said it was a bad choice. And he sobbed. So wait a minute. You annoyed everybody for a scene for your movie. And then you're going to try to act like, I can't believe what I forced my friend to endure by going to the steakhouse. Who are these people? I mean, absolutely insufferable. We got more on the way. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain, and then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first and foremost, and pull this up here. I had to restart some stuff. It's probably the solar flare. By the way, that's the other thing we're going to talk about. Apparently, it's like one of the biggest solar flares. What did they say? In like 17 years? Something to that effect. One of the biggest solar flares in like 17 years. And it happened earlier this morning, and they said we're expected to, I guess, feel the residual after effects of it for what? How long? Like days? I think the first is going to be like in a day or two. So that might mean that you could see more of like those auroras the further south that you go. And everyone's like, oh, there's going to be radio blackouts. And I don't know if it's going to be all that. Let's see here. Would you fly this? An AI passenger plane? With no pilot, where travelers can sit in the cockpit and quote-unquote enjoy the view? No. I would, you know what? This is what the robots want you to think. They want you to be like, yes, come fly in our plane. It's the AI plane. And then, you know, maybe for a few years, everything's going to go just peachy keen, right?
I've seen the robo-taxis in South...
I read a story the other day where a Roomba ate a woman's hair.
What?
Yeah, her head was in the Roomba. I'm not going to sit here and fly on this plane. I ain't flying on no AI plane. No, thank you. Let's see. There's a... Doctors want to use a new BRI system to measure how round you are instead of BMI. I don't understand that. Why? What's... Because BMI is pretty accurate. Yeah. It's called, I'm not making this up, the body roundness index.
No.
Do we all just get a little dumber? I think we all just got a little dumber. It's BMI is widely used, but it's controversial. Now they want the body roundness index. And they're trying to go, why cellulite on your thighs is a good thing. Shut up. They're trying to make you, like, they're trying to celebrate unhealthy bodies and act like it's body positivity. No thanks. An Idaho man took a homeless person to breakfast. Oh, that's nice. Oh, but then he drugged and stabbed him 16 times. That's not nice. That guy's nuts. He killed a vagrant, took him to IHOP, and now he's been sentenced to life in prison. I hope his life is shortened in prison. You know, not by anything bad. Just, you know, if it's... I just don't want him to die on the outside. I want him to, you know, be in prison for a long enough time that he can die on the inside. Like how I cleaned that up? That's nice, wasn't it? We'll talk about feral hogs coming up. But why are biohackers annoying? Mm-hmm. Stay with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And... we're at the bottom of this second hour already. So I kind of want to play some music. I got all kinds of stuff for you. It's been like heavy with the news industry. Now they're talking about the auto industry with the strikes. Can we just all come together real quick and just make fun of somebody for a moment?
Sure.
Let's just cleanse the palate. It's been a serious news day. You guys need a break, right? Let's all hate somebody together. All of us. Without any kind of question, let's all get on. Let's have some unity, okay? We got to talk about these biohacking freaks. This is, I don't know if I want to laugh or roll. I don't know what I want to do. This is so weird. Have you heard about, first off, there was the dude. How old is he? He's like in his 50s. And he's like, I want to be like as biologically young as my son. Right. And he like, it sounds like he kind of uses his kid as a guinea pig. He's like, I take my son's blood and I run tests and then I do. And he's like, from what I understand, the guy who started this biohacking thing, he looks silver. He looks weird. All I can tell is that he grew his hair out, got a ton of Botox, and maybe dipped himself in colloidal silver. I don't know. I don't really notice much of a difference, right? He still looks the same age. Sure, I'll go ahead. If you want to tell me that you think that you're biologically 19, okay, I really don't care. I don't know you. I'm not going to send you flowers when you die. I don't care. I won't even know when you die. I won't even be notified because we don't know each other. So I don't care. So I just, you know, I do what you want to do in your own life. But now it's a big thing. I've got to, talk about this story. So now it's like the new CrossFit. Everybody's biohacking, guys. Everybody. And it's starting to be stretched from, here's a freak rich dude who's like injecting all this weird stuff into him. And now it's like just people eating healthy, just like they're biohacking. Oh my gosh, that's insufferable. So we all agree that people who do CrossFit talk all the damn time about CrossFit, right? And people who are keto are like, I'm keto. We know it because they tell us, right? Or people who are like, I love cycling. We know it because they tell us when they're not hogging the road. Anyway, this couple from New York Post, biohacking couple, plans to live longer than anyone on the planet. Oh, good for you. Nobody cares. So it's this couple and they're doing this this profile for the New York Post. And I guess they had a photographer come to their house. I'm going to tell you something. If your house is all white and it looks like it's been staged, I think you're crazy. I don't trust you. Nobody's house looks like that. Your house should look lived in, okay? It shouldn't look like a doctor's waiting room. So they say they're from the Midwest and they want to live longer than anyone on the planet. I'm sure they're very nice. They're the lenses, right? One of them was a chief revenue officer at a marketing agency. Somebody else founded a talent agency. I don't know. They sound like your typical couple on House Hunters. Well, I make miniature dollhouse furniture. Yes, and I do underwater basket weaving. We have a budget of $50 million. Like, that's what they sound like, right? So I just need to share this with you. So they were talking about how they got together even. So he started as the biohacker. The guy was the biohacker first, right? They want to live to 150 years old. And they spend six figures a year on their quest for longevity. I don't know who likes this world enough to want to live that long, right? All your friends are dead. You're going to be stuck with Zoomers. I'm sorry, guys, but just saying. So she's like, the wife is like, I've been committed to wellness for years. And when I met my husband in person, he asked her for detailed information about health and biology because he wanted to make sure that they were going to be suitable to each other for over a century. What? So, yeah, that's what they did. He made sure that they had to pass all the tests. She had to pass the medical and metaphorical tests, according to The Independent. The pair follow a strict daily routine. It sounds like there's no fun at all. So they wake up. He wakes up before her, and they both begin their day with pulsed electromagnetic field therapy using the clinical-grade device in their home. They follow that up with a workout and a walk to soak up a bit of sunlight as soon as it rises. Then they sit down for an organic homemade breakfast. In the afternoon, they try to get more sun and take a cold plunge if the man works from home. Then they use the hyperbaric oxygen chamber and NanoV, a device that claims to repair everyday cell damage. And for dinner, because apparently they don't eat lunch, she cooks an organic dinner where she sits down to eat with her husband at 5:30 p.m. They take a long walk through the hills and then they begin their wind down routine. They do a sauna session and then switch the house to red lights at sunset. They're in bed by 9 p.m. every night. They hope that their strict routine will help them to welcome their first child soon. Well, that's not how that's done, but okay, good for you. They sound like a blast, right? You want to go have some organic quinoa and cicadas over at the lenses and sit in their red lights? Wouldn't it be like sitting under them fryer lights at a fast food place? I feel like this goes too far. Am I wrong, Kane? Does this go too far? They actually have a cold tub day. The only time I get into cold water is accidentally.
There's health benefits to it.
I don't care. I don't want to live to be 150 at all. I have zero interest.
Yeah, those are the years where someone else...
Have you looked around and seen stuff? People are wearing high-waisted jeans and they want a frayed hem. It's horrible. Have you listened to the music? Have you seen what they're trying to get you to eat? They're putting all this bug stuff in your food. Who the hell wants to live to 150? Take me back to the days when grandma used to put the bacon grease in a jar under the sink and everybody drank. Take me back. I'm just saying. You don't want to live to 150, do you?
No.
Where someone else has to like wipe your butt and stuff. Those are the years that I'm not interested in experiencing.
I mean, they literally hold their faces up against this wall of red light, little bubble lights. It just does not sound fun. And then all their photos, it's just so weird, dude. It's so weird. I don't know what I think about this. I mean, you do you, but it's annoying.
They don't end up like Jimmy Carter watching planes fly by.
Yeah, they're going to be wheeled out there and watching. Oh, my gosh. I had to talk about that because I keep seeing it over and over again. There was another story of this woman who was like, oh, I'm a biohacker and I have 11 grandkids. You're not a biohacker. You just eat healthy, Cynthia. Come on. That's not biohacking. Stop it. I can't, man. But I'd rather have those people live into 150 than like Jimmy Carter, right?
Yeah.
Dana, that's so mean. Shut up. I don't care. So, let's go back to some of the other news. We all had to have a break, right? Didn't we? Did you hear about the solar flare? Can we touch on this real quick? What does this mean? I don't know. The strongest of its kind flare may cause blackouts. It's a massive solar storm. And it looks like the Eye of Sauron, if you just want a description of what it kind of looks like. To me, it looks like the Eye of Sauron. And I don't know. Like, I thought, were we supposed to sacrifice tax dollars to the sun to stop this? Like, Isn't that what happened? Like, the son was all like, you didn't give me your tax dollars. Now I'm going to blast you with my solar ray. Bzeep. And then we get, like, these pretty auroras and all this stuff. And the son's like, damn. I don't know. Like, what? Wasn't that supposed to happen? Isn't that how it works? Like, you throw a virgin in the volcano. Apparently, those, we don't have them anymore. Throw a virgin in a volcano, and then the volcano doesn't, you know, eat up your island. Aren't we supposed to just, like, put tax dollars in, like, a t-shirt cannon? Like they have at the games, and then fire it up at the sun? Or like take one of those SpaceX rockets and just drive by the sun and shoot it off, shoot it out?
Yeah, you got to do it at night so it doesn't burn up the money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, isn't that, weren't we supposed to do that, Kane? Who didn't, maybe that's what the Green New Deal was all about. See, they went around and they were like, if you don't want the sun to zap you with the solar ray, give us all your money. And so to placate it, like it's smog or something. Give us all the money and they'll make it happy. Because why does giving you our money help make the sun not do that? It just does. Shut up, you anti-science bigot. Give us your money. And then they don't even actually send the money up there. They just like put monopoly money in there and then they keep the money and get rich. That's really what it is. Kane, why didn't we think of this business model? What the heck are we doing? Like researching issues and trying to be read and smart and stuff. We could have just done this the whole time. Biohacking. And now I would biohack, maybe. Not to 150, though. I got a limit. So it unleashed a massive X-class solar flare, the most powerful it can generate. It has the potential to pummel our planet with a powerful geomagnetic storm this weekend. And it triggered a coronal mass injection. Okay. That's when the plasma and the magnetic particles burst forth from the sun's surface like a zit, right? Like pop. And then it could hit the Earth like at Friday around 4 p.m. according to spaceweather.com. This is a great name for a website. Space weather. Not just any kind of weather. It's weather in space. So I don't know. It could impact navigation systems, power grids, satellite communications, you know, green stuff. I don't know. Right? Are you worried about this one? They did have... the last outburst like this, there's temporary radio blackout over big swaths of the Pacific Ocean that nobody lived in except for Hawaii.
Yeah, everything is frequency. But I do believe that sometimes they talk about these solar flares or exaggerate them because there's already a...
No one would do that. What?
Because there's already a plan to shut down communication in some way. So they want to seed that first with a little story of a solar flare.
Sorry, guys. We can't have the election because we had a major solar flare. You guys should have given us your tax dollars so we could have sacrificed it to the sun.
You have no idea how close you are to
no, the what I just said was true. Yeah. That's literally it.
I'm saying.
Guys, can't have an election because you guys didn't give the sun got mad. You didn't give it your tax dollars. Should have given it more money. I'm going to go around with a hat now, okay, and collect money for the sun. Make it happy. It
caused the sun to have inflammation.
Yeah, the sun had some inflammation. it's really not that far off anymore. Right. So, yeah, this is, we just got to, if you just throw money at that sweet, angry ball of meanness, then it gets all calmed down. It eats it up like Cookie Monster eats cookies. Nom, 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 nom. And then it's full, and then it doesn't need your money anymore until it does. And then you got to do the same thing all over again. It's just a cycle, you know. You got to, no, it's not extortion. It's nature. It's different, right? It's different. That was actually the most accurate thing I've ever said on this program. That's what the Green New Deal is. It's not extortion. It's nature. That's all it is. Oh, my gosh. So just saying, you know, just following all this. Coming up, no one's asking about Doug Imhoff. But by the way, they did try to ask, what's his face? Elmer Fudd. Elmer Walz. Tim Fudd. Him. A question. One of them is right about his some of his remarks at the debate, and it just got worse. This guy is just he's not fit for any time, much less prime.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Woo hoo hoo! All right, so first up, this crazy. Well, this guy went to jail for being a pickle thief. I almost said for pickle thieving. Sounds kind of. It's not pickleball. I mean, you know, well. Polk County Sheriff's Office, the Superway Food Mart. A Florida man was called in He had committed a theft from the store earlier in the day, and he was back at the store causing a disturbance. He fled after he realized the store employee called 911. And he frequently steals from the store. And then he tries to, like, on sometimes he will try to pay for the merchandise, but then he throws the incorrect amount and literally throws it on the counter and runs away. So he stole pickles, and the store owner had enough. Now he's going to jail. Upon arrest, Felipe Jesus Gutierrez says, quote, "Oh, I'm going to jail as a pickle thief." Yeah, well, thank you for naming yourself. That's great, because it sounds really good in a headline. The pickle thief is facing a felony petty theft charge. And he was, I love how the sheriff's office puts out, arrested by Polk County Sheriff's Office. And they got a picture of their Polk County Sheriff's car. And then they got the perp's picture in the corner. It's hysterical. Save the pickles. Yeah. Well, so, but here's the most important question. What kind? If it's the sweet butter. Pickles, bread take them away.
You
immediately.
Like, you don't like those bread and butter pickles.
No, they're nasty. Do you like them?
I like them.
What is the matter with you?
I haven't had them in forever.
You people who eat bread and butter pickles and people who think cilantro tastes like soap. I don't get you people.
Right. I don't think cilantro tastes like soap
good for
at
you.
All. But I do enjoy that.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Bread and butter pickles. Good stuff.
So a teen girl, Florida girl, brought a taser to a middle school because she had a problem with another student. Now, back in my day, we'd just beat the snot out of them on the playground. But she was having a problem, 13-year-old girl. She got arrested for bringing a weapon to Beth Shields Middle School. And they said they got a tip about a student spark testing a taser at a bus stop. It was in her purse during an administrative search. And it's lavender colored. It's a new one. She borrowed it and brought it to school because she had a problem with another student. Now, what gets me is that, you know, the sheriff was like, it's unacceptable that someone would bring a weapon to school to terrorize another student. You realize that she felt like she had to because she was being terrorized by another student. Like, I don't know, maybe let's look at what the bully's doing to make a student feel like they got to do that to protect themselves. Just saying, it goes both ways here. It goes both ways. I don't want to talk about the guy who abused the dogs, Kane. How bad was it? I purposely didn't read the story.
It was bad.
Okay, I can't. All I know is that a guy was accused of horrific animal abuse to his dogs in Polk County. I feel like I don't even know more. Death penalty.
The highlights are, I agree with the death penalty. But the highlights were carcasses.
Oh, no.
All around.
Oh, no.
Emaciated dogs that were alive. No food or water to be seen.
I'll take care of the problem for free for Florida. Yeah. I'll go down there on my own time, my own dime. I'll take care of that little problem for you. For that guy. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not telling you what I'm doing. I'm just said I'll take care of the problem. I'm a wolf. Call me. Right. I'll come help. Let's see here. No, not doing that one because I don't need that. Don't need this one either. And I also don't need that one. Can we stop going to stores and having romantical times just ourselves? That'd be amazing. I mean, why is this? It's like constantly a thing. This Florida woman accidentally, she says, misplaced $330 while depositing company checks over a two-year period. I accidentally put it in my account. This is Margate Medical Rehab employee. She faces grand theft charges. And it was a two-year scheme, apparently. But what she had said was, and the woman, it went all the way up to July of last year. She, her name's Louise Pierre. She just was accidentally putting them in her account. She didn't realize it was going into her account. She didn't mean to do that. Oops. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. And we got a lot to hit. We've been covering a lot of issues. It's been kind of a crazy news week. And you can watch along. Channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's over at Rumble. And also find us YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. X. We're also on X if you want to check it out. So, Hurricane Helene. We got a 1-2 punch because you got the hurricane recovery, a broke FEMA, and now you got the strike happening. Where did all FEMA's broken? We don't know where all our money went. You don't have to guess. Kane, if you had to guess where our money went, A, it went to the sun to make it not spit solar flares at us. B, it went to buy booger sugar for Hunter. Or C, it went to assisting illegal immigrants, resettling them and giving them humanitarian needs, whatever that means. What
Jeopardy.
Would you say out of the three?
The Jeopardy music here. But I would say it's mostly C, but it could be all three. Definitely mostly C, though.
Mostly C? No, you don't get a mostly. You got to pick one.
I imagine that some booger sugar was probably purchased with tax dollars.
Either the money was sent up to the sun to make it not spit solar flares. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, Hunter Biden's booger sugar.
Right.
Three, it went to resettling illegal immigrants in the United
States. Yeah, the FEMA money definitely went to resettling illegal immigration, by the way, here in the United States.
That is correct, sir.
Mm.
You don't win anything because FEMA's broke. We're all broke.
We
don't have nothing to give except the...
Maybe you need to spend less, pimp.
That's right. Just the satisfaction of knowing you're correct. Sometimes when Steve plays sound bites of me while with me, I feel like that's little Dana on my shoulder. Like, it's little Dana just sitting there, like, telling everybody what's what. It's just like that. FEMA's broke. They don't have... Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the DHS secretary, is like, and FEMA's under DHS. They don't have the funds to make it through the season. Maybe it's because they spent almost $500 million. Actually, it's more than that. It's probably $1 billion on housing and providing services to illegal aliens. I mean, where else in the world do you go and you can get that kind of treatment? I mean, this isn't like the Ritz. You know what I mean? This isn't the Four Seasons. It's not like, come on over and here's your delicious steak meal. Here's your prepaid phone and... here's a debit card prepaid, and here's some tickets to go get food. I mean, it's not like a fair, right? They treat it like one. This isn't Glastonbury. This is like, what are you guys treating? This is not how you don't get this treatment anywhere else. Hey, guess what? If you snuck into Mexico, can you think you'd get all them things? I mean, you got family in Mexico, so you know this. Like, would you get all them perks? If I were to go down, say I was going to go down and I'd be like, I'm going to visit Kane's family. I'm just going to cross the Rio. Go up in Mexico, and I got in trouble with one of them federales. What would happen? I'd probably get Kane a prepaid phone, and I'd probably get, you know, maybe like, I don't know, a nice stay in a nice hotel. They'd put me up in a nice hotel, like one of them fancy resorts, right?
Not thinking that's how it will go.
Yeah, because it's like that's what the United States does. So surely that courtesy is returned, right?
No, it's pretty unique.
Oh, it's not?
It's a unique situation we have here in the United States.
So what would they do to you if I snuck down there and tried to see some of your family on the other side of Brownsville?
They would detain you and then
I'd get
you
a nice meal, right?
You might get something. Nice meal may not be the...
But then I would go get to stay in a nice hotel for free, paid before by the Mexican nationals, right?
No, they would send you right back, actually.
Would they?
Yep.
That's so mean. Why are they so racist? Mexicans are so racist. Why can't I just like let me come in your country and... It's take your stuff. I mean, why not? Otherwise, you're racist. That's how it works, right? Doesn't it work in reverse?
Yeah, no.
No, it doesn't. Okay, no. Yeah. So FEMA's broke. And, you know, I thought FEMA, when it was a disaster, like with hurricanes or tornadoes or something like that, they were supposed to be there to help provide assistance in those times. I mean, that's why we pay taxes, pay a lot in taxes. But, and Ukraine gets a lot of our money, as Juan reminds, like billions of our dollars. So, that's not what happened. Congress did replenish a big source of FEMA's response efforts. They gave them $20 billion in disaster relief. That was supposed to be part of a short-term spending bill. It goes up to December 20th. And then FEMA had a little bit more flexibility to draw the money out as needed. And they're not. I mean, they're all in their home states right now until after the election. So they're going to be home now for the next month. Congress isn't in session, so they're going to be home now for the next month. Boy, this sounds like it's just real great. We got all this stuff happening, and now we don't have FEMA to be able to afford anything. Congress isn't in session. They spent all the money on illegal immigration, and everybody's broke.
But we got that CR.
Hey, maybe we can just like takesies backsies. Like, oh, we're going to need all this stuff back. Got to give it back now. I mean, that's the whole reason why you have FEMA. I mean, you can plan for a disaster as much as you want to, but sometimes extraordinary things happen and create even more extraordinary circumstances. And that's why our government was like, okay, well, we'll create this, you know, this department to be able to deal with this. And now there's nothing there for the people who need it, who paid into it, which makes me real mad. Like, what? I'd be livid. You paid all this in tax and this is what you get? You get everybody else gets nice swanky accommodations, and what do you get? I don't know. This is so, it's so frustrating, and I feel so bad for these people. Elon Musk has been providing free Starlink. He's been providing free internet through Starlink to all these people across the six states. And he said last night that they made a system update to allow Starlinks in all the affected areas to work regardless of payment. He said that they were updating the software and they were trying to get it completed last night, but it was a big update. And so he's like out there doing the federal government. Wait a minute, I thought everybody's supposed to have high speed internet out there. Didn't they say that's what? Whoa, hold up. Sorry. We just talked to Brendan Carr about this.
Sorry, $42 billion spent. Nothing. And I mean, zero to show for it.
Huh. Imagine that. So all that money, all these people were supposed to have high speed. Never happened. Now Elon Musk is out there doing it for free. And you're right. The broadband, their whole thing that they had, I mean, they spent just a ridiculous amount of money. $42 billion. Let's see. Oh, but you know what? One of the problems, probably like the EV charging stations, they had to have all the diversity stuff, equity and inclusion stuff in it. Remember what we told you about the charging stations? One of the reasons that they weren't able to get all the ones that they said they wanted to, they got seven, right? Seven built. Because they had to have a quota of how many minority-owned businesses, how many minorities those minority-owned businesses employed, whether or not those minority-owned businesses that employed a certain number of minorities also employed translators. I am not making this up. Like, I was reading this off of their website. I'm not making it up. And then what kind of community events that they did to try to ingratiate themselves better at large with the community. Those were all requirements in order to be able to get a contract with the government to build an EV station. I am not even making this up. So you couldn't just, even if you were a minority company, minority owned, not enough. How many minorities do you employ? Not enough. How many translators do you have? What? I'm just asking. That's what they required. So you see now why that's so stupid. So there were probably businesses out there, minority-owned businesses. Maybe they didn't have majority minority-owned employees, and they got the shaft because of that. Do you see how stupid and also racist this is? It's a government contract, and so we're promoting one group over another to receive federal dollars to perform a service that isn't needed, and somehow that's considered constitutional and fiscally responsible. I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, another fun issue. I just saw this story. So the First Lady has doubled down on her pro-abortion stance. This is why are Republic? Why? Oh my gosh. Why is this headline even getting the light of day right now? Why are they pushing it? No, I know the media. Why are Republicans? Why is she saying this 4 weeks ahead of an election? She's releasing her book. This is a headline Kane that just posted. She released a book and she said she calls abortion an individual freedom and a fundamental principle. She said, quote, without a doubt, there is no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right that all women possess from birth. And then she starts talking about abortion. She says, quote, it's imperative to guarantee that women have autonomy in deciding their preference of having children based on their own convictions, free from intervention or pressure from the government. Oh, my gosh. Why? She says many women opt for abortions due to personal medical concerns. And then she cites the complexity inherent in the decision of whether a mother should risk her own life to give birth. These things are already protected. I don't know what this campaign is thinking or why they thought that would be a good thing to do. Like I said earlier, we're just trying to keep everybody under the same tent right now. And having the former First Lady go out and sound identical to Kamala Harris when talking about abortion is not helpful in keeping all of these different factions together under the same tent. Look, if you think that you're going to go out there and hang out a carrot on a stick about abortion to get Democrats to vote for you, it's not going to work. Democrats are not going to vote for you because abortion isn't the only issue. If abortion is such a big issue to them that they're willing to vote for a candidate based on that alone, I guarantee you they were never going to vote Republican in the first place. They were always going to vote Democrat. And going out there and hurting your own odds with your own base by acting like you're triangulating the issue, that's not going to do anything to help your numbers. If anything, it'll hurt. This is just, I just don't understand her doing this. Like, go out with your memoir. That's fine. You know, whatever. But now this is like a bit, and she's talked about it. And it's not that they just pulled one thing out of her memoir and they're pummeling over it. The video that we're showing is literally her talking about abortion. Like, she made a video, a promotional video about her memoir where she's defending abortion. And I just don't know why the campaign thinks that this is a smart thing to come out with right now. Like I said, anybody who's like, oh no, I got to have abortion, they're not going to be voting for Democrats. There is, or for Republicans. There's nothing Republicans that are going to do that will get a hardcore abortion supporter over to vote Republican, because that is just the symptom of an overall ideological deficiency that these people have. It's not just, you know, government paid for, you know, taxpayer funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. It's also they want higher taxes. It's also they want to go and nation build. It's also they want to get in never ending wars. It's also that they want an open border. It's also that they want, you know, the Green New Deal. They want all of these other things. That's just one aspect of their Marxist ideological deficiency. You're not going, why hurt yourself with your own base in an effort to try to attract people who are never going to vote for you? They are never going to vote for you, ever. You know, Donald Trump once said he could go out to Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and that nobody would on his side would stop voting for him. He could go out there and abort a whole mess of babies in the middle of damn Fifth Avenue. It's still not going to get Democrats to come and vote for him. So why with this? Why do this? Before we go. Why? Stop. God, leave. You've seen the polls. It's close. I don't know. So we've got also coming up Iran and Israel. Because Israel is now considering a ground, well, they're looking at their oil fields. And Iran has said that if there's any kind of response, then they're going to strike back super hard. I think that was all they had, unless they've got something nuke under their sleeve. I don't know.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay. There is a woman who transforms taxidermy's rats into sexy showgirls with colored feathers, bras, and fake eyelashes. And she has 12-hour days to keep up with demands. It's called her taxidermy business. It's quirky and bizarre rats. Is it just rats? Okay. I would want more than the rats, right? I was in Traverse City one time, went to an ice cream parlor / taxidermy shop. I was eating my ice cream, vanilla cone. I was eating my ice cream and I was just like looking at like all the, there was like, they were put up in all kinds of little whimsical, like Fantastic Mr. Fox kind of, you know, scenes. It was very neat, very interesting, very demure. Let's see here. We've Bank of America says the widespread outage is nearly fixed. Oh, they had one? I don't use them. They're trash pink. They said their customers reported having trouble accessing their actual money. But their glitch has been fixed, guys, so hope nobody was inconvenienced. Yay. Was that solar flare? I don't know. Yeah. Sure. Weird timing with the vax rollout and the boosters. Rising the HIV is the steepest amongst straight dudes and women with a 30% surge in 2 years. Kane, are you telling me that the vax gives you the HIV? Come on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that it compromises your immune system to the point where you're susceptible to things like this. But yeah.
Okay. I don't believe that you're just like susceptible to the HIV. I think you just like get it regardless.
If you go
now,
back,
other stuff, I'm on board with you on
if
that.
You go back in history, there has been some accusations about vaccines back then creating the HIV issue. And Anthony Fauci was actually behind it back then. So yeah, there's
that's
some
too much tinfoil for me.
All right, I'll quit.
Not with the HIV. Like, cancers, different cancers, completely. I totally agree. 1,000%. But with literal AIDS, yeah, I don't think so. That's not how AIDS has gotten.
Okay.
That's not how.
All right, Dr. Lash, go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, AIDS comes from Green Day, from when you listen to Green Day, and it's sonic AIDS.
That actually is science.
It's audible HIV that turns into full-blown AIDS. That's how everybody knows that that's how you contract it. Golly, come on. Also... wait, one more. I didn't get this one. Oh, feds arrest thousands of violent fugitives in a sweeping operation. What? Like, why now? U.S. Marshals, they had a months-long nationwide mission to capture violent fugitives. They arrested 3,400 suspects, wanted on murder, rape, robbery charges. How many were here legally? I'm just curious. Stick with us. My friend Andy McCarthy joins us next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. Catch us on Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, everywhere. One of the things that we've been following, and I said we were going to touch on this earlier on in the show, was this weird thing from Jack Smith. I mean, he's able now. I mean, it's an immunity filing, and it gets into what he's suggesting is Trump's alleged desperate bid to overturn the election, even though, Mike Pence was even saying that these conversations were not taking place. And I just think it's really weird that the timing comes right after the vice presidential debate. And Tim Walz kind of stepped on himself, all over himself, not kind of. And then he tried to clean it up after, and like his responses were even worse. And then now you have the situation with missing kids from the border and the FEMA response. And it's just like a really not the best news cycle for Democrats. And then, boom, this filing comes out. And I was kind of scratching my head over this. So, of course, we had to go to our very smart and very good friend, Andy McCarthy, best-selling author, and his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency, I think is, you have to read it to understand really how everything makes sense with what we're seeing now and what we've seen these past, 8 years now. Former Chief Assistant U.S. Attorney, he joins us now via phone on Skype. Andy, always so good to see you. I don't know if I would classify this as an October surprise, because some of it seems kind of like a rehash, but it also seems like a desperate attempt to try to rehabilitate Democrats or try to hit Trump. It doesn't seem like it's justice minded at all.
Well, it's not justice minded, Dana, and thank you for the kind words. It's the whole project of Jack Smith's term as special counsel, including both prosecutions, was strategically timed to have trials and bad information, and they hoped convictions of Trump, come out in the run-up to the election. Remember, they wanted to have two trials, but which were estimated to be like 2.5 to 3 months each. He wanted to start in March, which would have taken him right through Election Day. So the whole objective here was to influence the election. They got he kind of got caught up on his wheels because he underestimated how complicated it would be to try to prosecute a former president, and the Supreme Court put the brakes on it. So they can't have their trial. The next best thing, as far as they're concerned, I think, especially on the J6 stuff, which is what Harris wants to run on, what Democrats want to run on. Otherwise, they have to run on their own record. So obviously they'd rather run on that. But since they can't have their trial, the next best thing is to at least get all the evidence out there so that the media Democrat complex has it, the Harris campaign has it, they can, blast it in their election messaging and the like. And that's the only reason for doing this, because there's no way that this case could go to trial in less than a year, given all the legal complexities that still remain. And ordinarily, a good judge and a good prosecutor would not want the evidence to be publicized prior to trial. A prosecutor who's been running around telling everyone that his defendant is a threat to democracy as we know it, wants to keep the evidence close to the vest. You don't want to identify right. witnesses or because they could be threatened, right? The integrity of the process could be threatened. And a judge is supposed to be worried about the jury pool, the defendant's fair trial rights and the like. The last thing you want to do is fuel the publicity with the most explosive parts of the government's case, right? So ordinarily, you wouldn't do any of this stuff. But the purpose here is not legal. It's political. They need to get this out into the public domain. There's no legal reason for doing it. So it's pretty obvious what they're trying to do here. They didn't get their trial. This is the next best thing.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that. We're talking to our friend Andy McCarthy on the phone. I'm glad that you mentioned how odd it is to lay out all of your cards like this. I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer. I know some law, but I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not in anywhere near your league. And I've watched some Law and Order. I know that, prosecutors don't like to lay this stuff out like that. But it's like this is like the first 90 pages of this thing is all the evidence that he has. Was that sort of, I guess, like his second place prize for failing to get the first place prize, which was a trial before election?
I guess, you know, it's funny you mentioned Law and Order. I was trying to think as you were saying that, how many of the 90 pages you could read in the 45 minutes they managed to wrap up all their cases. I never had one like that, that you could wrap up that way. But, you know, look, just to show how farcical and unabashedly political this is, when we have very careful procedures in the criminal justice system for how evidence gets unfolded, where before any of the evidence starts to get presented, the judge can tell the jury, which the allegations mean nothing. An indictment is not proof of anything. The defendant is presumed innocent. You can't assume anything until the end of the case when you've heard the whole thing. They get to cross-examine. They get to put their defense in. They get to test all of the documents and the witnesses that the government presents. The judge tells the jury all this because you don't want them, you know, rampantly on a runaway thing where they, on an incomplete understanding or a one-sided understanding of what the case is, you don't want them, you know, rushing to justice and doing a verdict that's that turns out to be against the evidence when you hear all of the evidence. So all of this is supposed to be done under, you know, due process rules that we've taken, I don't know, a millennium or two to develop, you know. But here, because this is political, they couldn't care less that there's no due process protections here. They couldn't care less that this is obviously going to taint the jury.
That's exactly pool. what I was thinking of.
I mean, it is the D.C. jury pool where, you know, hostility to Trump is kind of baked in the cake. But still, you're at least supposed to pretend that you care about influencing the jury pool. They don't care about any of this because the objective is to get the information out in time for the campaign.
Yeah. And that's a great point, too, because you're now jurors are going to see all of this. And as you said, this is outside of that controlled environment of exploring this evidence in a courtroom with due process protections. Now it's just out there in public domain for the court of public opinion and any potential juror. I don't even know how you get an impartial juror with everything that they put out there at this point. I really don't.
Yeah, well, you know, what they figure is if Trump wins the election, there's no case, right? Because he's going to, if he gets sworn in at 12:05, at 12:06, Jack Smith gets fired and whoever is running the Trump Justice Department gets told to dismiss the case. Now, I think they may have some trouble with Judge Chutkan on that, but they will be constitutionally allowed to do that, and then it will die the death it deserves. If Harris wins the case, it will probably proceed, even though I think it's against her interest. This case is good for the presidency as far as Democrats are concerned, as long as it has the political value of dumping dirt on Trump in the run-up to the election. Once Harris is elected, if she's elected, what this case is about is cutting back on the immunity of the executive branch and the president, which should be the last thing that Harris, the Justice Department, or anybody actually wants. So if she were smart, I think, you know, she would have a lot of incentive to just say, I think it's time for the country to turn the page. I ran as like the new somehow I ran as the person who was going to be a step away from my own administration. But, you know, don't twist yourself into not trying to understand that.
Right.
I'm going to be the new fresh face that turns the page. It would be good for her in terms of not degrading the immunity of the presidency. It would be good for her politically because it would look like an olive branch that doesn't cost her anything. But the left would go crazy. So I don't see, they never do anything that makes the left go crazy.
Yeah. I'm talking with our friend Andy McCarthy, whose book is a must read, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. And that's, you touched on too, this was, I mean, it's about the presumptive immunity for official acts. And that's what they were looking to try to define, I guess, piecemeal what was or was not an official act, because they weren't able to claim, or at least prove their original claim that what he was engaged in was somehow outside of his, you know, regular performance as the chief executive. And furthermore, like in a lot of the stuff in this filing, and I was reading your piece and I was reading the filing as well, as a lot of conversations with Mike Pence. But Pence even, he like said in his book that he didn't even see at the time any There wasn't any proof that of attempted fraud on behalf of Trump. And so it's weird to me that prosecutors would, that he would include that in here, but leave that detail out.
Well, I think Undisputed is a political document. It makes perfect sense that he would write it the way that he wrote it. I have to say, having looked at it now, that he and the Supreme Court are like two ships passing in the night on this. Because and having been a prosecutor for a long time, I can assure you that prosecutors don't win the battle with the Supreme Court. But, you know, the Supreme Court's opinion basically says, look, we think presidential acts should be immune from prosecution. For today's purposes, we're not prepared to go any further than to say the core executive acts, like the president's control over the Justice Department, they're absolutely immune for that. But the court's message was, if pressed further on this, we might be inclined to say all official acts of the presidency are immune because the danger of degrading the executive's role in our constitutional system is too great.
Wow.
And if you, that's what you get when you read the opinion. When you read Jack Smith's submission, he's like, the Trump immunity opinion is just a bump in the road. And sure, I got a lot of the presidential acts here, but look, I can overcome the immunity. And when you read what the Supreme Court said, and look, I think he's going to get indulged by Judge Chutkan if it, you know, if it comes to that, we continue to have this case. But when he gets back up to the appellate courts, I don't think they're going to smile on this theory that he has. And the other thing he says, Dana, is that Trump should be understood as a candidate, not a president in this context. In other words, even though he's the incumbent president, he's also an office seeker. And in that role, he's not exercising executive power. That's private conduct, private behavior that he doesn't have immunity for. And when you read the Supreme Court's opinion, what they say again and again is that the president's powers are so vast that it's impossible to draw clear lines between, you know, when you're a candidate and when you're the president. And, you know, there's an appellate opinion that says, look, the president could be giving a campaign stump speech. Mm. And in the middle of it, he could say, and that's why I'm firing the Secretary of State, which is not a political thing. That's an official act. Right. So it's not always easy to tell what's official and what's not official. And what the court's message in that opinion, I think, is let's stay out of this. Regulating presidential abuse of power is for Congress. That's what the framers intended. They certainly didn't intend for subordinate executive officials, which is what federal prosecutors are, to be policing the chief executive. That's not the way the system was designed.
This is going to be fascinating to watch. What a great time to like be a student of law right now, especially. I mean, you're getting real time, you know, practical lessons. This is amazing. Andy McCarthy, our good friend on X at Andrew C. McCarthy, and his book, Ball of Collusion. Always such a pleasure whenever we have you on. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, Dana. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out on that on the regular. And it's stuff that you're going to want, because I put a lot of this, like my prep, deep dives on different issues. I've got a couple of pieces, one in the process. It's a bigger piece that probably won't be out until maybe Monday or Tuesday of next week. And then I got another one comes out. We got our culture deep dives, all kinds of good stuff that come out pretty regularly on that. So you should check it out. I have all these weird sound bites of Harris speaking about the hurricane and hurricane response. And none of it is good. Okay, audio soundbite 4. What does this even mean? I know, I don't want to take up Kane's time, but can I just hear this real quick? It's 21 seconds.
President and I have been paying close attention from the beginning to what we need to do to make sure federal resources hit the ground as quickly as possible. And that includes what was necessary to make sure that we provided direct federal assistance.
So she's saying in this, we've been paying close attention from the beginning to what we need to do. Okay, what, then why aren't you doing it?
Thank you.
You know, just, I know it's kind of a basic question to ask, but if you've been watching closely as to what you need to do, why are you not doing it? Just want to ask that question. Yay. That's all I got. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it's going to have to be, and Juan, I think it's going to have to be the $750, cut number two. Because think about this. People are upset. People are displaced. No water, no food. Yeah. They see billions being sent to Ukraine. They see billions being sent all around the world. They saw what happened to Maui and the government only handing over $750 to those guys one time. Mm-hmm. And here's what Kamala has to say for those in North Carolina and other places ravaged by the hurricane.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being...
Just go back to the first hour of the show. Dana laid out all of the areas that FEMA money went to, and guess what? None of it went to Americans.
Yeah.
None of it. It still isn't.
That we're looking at that so, didn't go.
That's
there.
Stupid.
All right, folks, that does it for us this Thursday. We made it through the week. Tomorrow, we're going to get you set up for with all the end of week stuff, anything that drops, and then also we'll get you set up for the weekend too. So have a great night. Find us Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Subscribe over at Substack. Back with you tomorrow.